two of my favorite topics, baseball and the Christian faith. Let's get to it. I'm looking forward to this episode a lot. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Press Club C podcast. I'm Ray Keating. In this 140th episode, I have a great guest. Father Chris Comerford is here, and we're going to talk about his role as Catholic chaplain for the St. Louis Cardinals, which is really neat. But first, a quick reminder on what the Press Club C actually is. Each letter stands for stuff we talk about during various episodes. P is for politics. R is for religion, mainly Christianity. E is for economics. S is for sports. That second S is for stories, books and writing, my own books, other books, fiction, nonfiction, reviews, author interviews, and so on. C is for culture, pop culture and otherwise. L is for life, the big catch-all. U is for understanding, lessons, for example, in economics and history. B is for business and entrepreneurship. And that last C in Press Club C, that's for conservative. Why? Because I am one, and we have to be very clear, as I've said many, many times, in terms of what that word conservative means. I'm a Reagan, Kemp, Buckley, Coolidge, Lincoln, Madisonian kind of conservative. To put it another way these days, I'm a freedom conservative or a freedom con. Now, on to my interview with Father Chris Comerford. Father Chris Comerford is the pastor at St. James and Patrick Parish, also pastor at Blessed Sacrament Parish, and he is the Catholic chaplain for the St. Louis Cardinals, which is the main reason why I have him on the show. I'm very intrigued by this. Father Chris, welcome to the Press Club C podcast.
It's great to be here, Ray. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you as a guest. We finally get to talk. Now, before we get to your role as the Catholic chaplain for the Cardinals, why don't we briefly, touch on your background and your main or other pastoral work? I noticed two churches. So let's explain that first.
Well, it's actually just St. James and Patrick is the name of the parish. The two churches are St. James and St. Patrick. They're very close together. They're about six blocks apart. One was the Irish church and the other was the German church. And then in 2007, we were brought together as one parish with one priest that handles both, but we share everything other than some people can choose which church they want to go to. And then we have, I go back and forth between the two.
Oh, okay. Interesting. The history of things like that always fascinate me as well. And what's pastor at Blessed Sacrament Parish? How does that work?
That was an old parish. I was there. That was the one I was at previously before I came to this one.
Okay. Gotcha. I'm always fascinated by individuals' journeys to becoming members of the clergy. Why don't you give us a little bit of that? How did you become a Catholic priest?
Well, definitely. When I was young, I'd always been active in the church. My family has always been. I was an altar server and a reader at church, and it was always important to me. But growing up, I also loved sports very much. It was always kind of my biggest interest. But one thing I learned very early on was I didn't have a whole lot of athletic ability. So I wasn't going to be a professional athlete as much as I wanted to. But I realized I loved talking about sports and had a pretty good voice for that. So eventually when I got into high school in that time, I began thinking about a career in sports broadcasting and began looking towards that. I dreamed that, well, maybe someday I would get to replace Jack Buck as the announcer for the Cardinals, on KMOX radio. And that was always kind of my dream to do that. So, and that's the way I went. I actually began pursuing that. I went to a small Catholic university, St. Francis in Joliet, Illinois. I knew it was in the Chicago area, and I thought that would be some good connections with the sports world. And they had a really good little department for that. Plus, it was a Catholic school that was important to me. So I started there, was a DJ on the radio station, helped out with some of our broadcast of baseball and basketball for the school. But while I was there, I just felt a call by God to be a priest. I had to take theology as when I was there at a Catholic university. In my first semester, I took one to get it out of the way, was my thought process. Well, of course, it was the best teacher I've ever had that way, and that way who just inspired me, you know, to want to learn more about my faith. And he was on fire for the faith, and I began thinking that God was calling me to be a priest. So I ended up graduating from St. Francis with a degree in theology and philosophy so I could go right into Catholic seminary. It was kind of my hope to be able to do that, and was able to work that. It's kind of funny, though, after I knew I was going to go away from the sports world a little bit, I actually had commented to people, well, maybe someday I'll get to be the chaplain for the Cardinals. Really, it said this. This is back when I was probably 20. And, you know, it's amazing how things can happen in life. So I did the studies and was ordained a priest in 1996. And I've been serving in parishes ever since then. And I know it's wonderful. I love being a parish priest. It's definitely the heart of who I am, and know that that's what God was calling me to do. So went from sports to the faith, and then sports gets to enter in a little bit later on again too.
That's great. That's a wonderful story. And it is one, you know, you have those moments in life where a teacher makes a difference, right? I mean, I had a similar experience with my pursuit of economics and undergrad. And I walked into a gentleman's class, Professor Arnaz, and he made he kind of opened my mind to what economics could be and should be. So it is amazing when you have those teachers that make a real difference in your life.
It really does. And that's one thing that we try to hope to do, to be able to inspire others, you know, later on by the things that we do. And I know that's what I try to do for others also.
Absolutely. So you were a Cardinals fan since you were a kid then.
Yes,
I would hold that as a Reds fan. I'm not going to hold this against you.
And it's kind of interesting because I grew up in Decatur, Illinois, which is kind of near Springfield in the middle of the state. So we're right smack dab in the middle between Cub fans and Cardinal fans.
Oh,
it's
right.
Split about 50-50 in my community. They have both teams' games on television and radio, so it's right in the middle. So I could have gone either way as a Cub or Cardinal fan, I guess. but a lot of, I had, and even in my own family, there's splits, you know, between that. And so it's just was a Cardinal fan growing up. We would go down to games in St. Louis, and was something I always enjoyed as part of that. And I ended up going to seminary in St. Louis also at Kenrick Glidden Seminary in St. Louis. So I may have snuck away for a few ball games when I was in seminary. You can imagine too, to be able to do that. So yeah, but baseball has always been my favorite sport to follow.
That's great. Yeah, no, same here. And I was an odd person because I grew up and until very recently lived in New York. As I like to say, we escaped recently 3 years ago and moved to Florida. But I was a Reds fan as a kid. I had the odd impact when I was 10 years old watching Pete Rose and Bud Harrelson fight at second base, and I sided with the Reds, and my Mets fans friends didn't go over too well. It didn't go over too well with my father either, who was a Mets fan, but anyway, that's another story.
Right.
So how did this come about then? Here you are, you're a priest, you're a Cardinals fan, you have this this comment when you're 20 years old. So how did you become the Catholic chaplain to the Cardinals?
It really is kind of amazing. And I say, I didn't find it. It found me is the way that it happened. Mm-hmm. I was assigned to a church in Granite City, Illinois, which is pretty much right across the river from St. Louis, because that's where my diocese is that I serve in. And I was excited about that, you can imagine. And people said, how did the bishop know he was putting you that close to the Cardinals? And they were even joked at that time. And I said, well, I'm sure I'll get to go quite a bit. And when I was there, hadn't been there too long, one of my parishioners was an usher at Busch Stadium. And she said to me sometime, found out I was a big Cardinal fan, but she said, would you ever want to celebrate Mass at Busch Stadium? And I'm like, I didn't know they had Mass at Busch Stadium to be able to do that. And so, yes, as she said, well, they for the players and the workers of the stadium to have a mass on the Saturdays of homestands. And there's a priest that takes care of that. And so she put me in contact with him, a retired priest, Father Dave Walter in St. Louis, because, you know, at times we need others to help fill in and to be part of that. And so one Saturday I was able to, for the first time, celebrate Mass in Busch Stadium. I thought, okay, my two worlds coming completely together in this sense.
Sure, right.
From that. And he and I got to be good fans. For the first few years, I just kind of helped out as a sub, you know, when he needed me to. But as he was getting older, his health was starting to decline, and he needed a little bit more help with that. So I became pretty much the regular priest there for a while, and to celebrate Mass and the other things that would be needed as part of that ministry. And eventually, you know, he did pass away. And after that, it kind of fell to me then to handle the Catholic ministry, chaplain ministry to the Cardinal organization. So I would have been one who would have sought this out, but it clearly was meant to be, because I had nothing to do with it other than being a Cardinal fan. And that's why my parishioner saw that in me.
That's great. So you had mentioned to me beforehand about Catholic Athletes for Christ. They play a part in this. Who are they, and how do they come into the picture?
Well, the group started in Major League Baseball and even the minor leagues. There's a group for Christians called Baseball Chapel. And it's been active for a very long time, and throughout most of the organizations where they have, you know, chaplains that'll come in either, you know, usually on Sunday morning to offer some type of service and study for those to be joined together. And one of the things, though, is, as you know, us as Catholics are a little bit different. So we kind of have our own, you know, services to be able to have. And at one time, some of the people realized, well, there really wasn't anything organized for Catholics to be able to offer these ministries. So a man named Ray McKenna, who had actually worked in Baseball Chapel for a while and had become a Catholic and kind of wanted to look for this. And he kind of connected with Mike Sweeney, who was a very good player for the Kansas City Royals, and Jeff Supon, player for the Cardinals, to be able to do that. And Mike Piazza actually helped a little bit with it also to be able to do this, to found this organization to kind of, you know, network together.
Right.
And to be able to see what ministries are being done and try to offer the Catholic services in all the major league stadiums. And of course, it's also moved out to NFL football is a big organization, even some levels in the college levels and others, to be able to offer this and just kind of to have a network of those who seek to live out their faith in Christ as in the Catholic Church, and also are active in the sports world. So it's kind of grown, and right now, as I know of, I think we have a Catholic priest that's involved with all but three of the major league teams right now. So it's covering most of it at that time, and to be able to offer these ministries for those who'd like that.
Well, you just hit my next question was how many teams have this? I was wondering how extensive it is. It's, you know, so it's most of the Major League Baseball teams have a Catholic chaplain. That's fascinating.
Right. Most of the NFL teams do also. And then they even offer the Saturday night before the games for the home teams. And there's also usually priests that help for the visiting teams when they're on the road to be able to do that.
Interesting. So you do Mass. What other, you know, activities, if you will, are you involved with in terms of, you know, with the teams and with the players, and tied into that, I guess, is a natural, you know, how what's been the response of the players in general?
Sure. It usually starts with Mass and then a chance to get to know them. You know, that's usually where it starts with. And then you never know, you know, is what I've found in this. You know, there's some it's just a chance to talk. For some, you know, we have the confession, you know, as part of ours. I've had ones who may want to be able to go to confession. I've helped out in some situations with funerals, with baptisms, different things that are part of that. And it's usually for us, it's more than the players. It's even the organization itself, the Cardinals especially. You know, they open the Mass to any employees who want to come. Mm-hmm. And so we have a pretty good, you know, group, but it's not to the public, but usually just for those who are in there and gives them a chance to be able to have this service, you know, without having to make arrangements either very early before they have to work the next day, or and then they're already at work, so it works out pretty well for them, and even for visiting players and others to be part of that too. So it's kind of open to whatever, and I've, you know, it has been kind of amazing, you know, that you can. I've even connected with some of the visiting players. You know, you just make a good connection, and you can keep in touch. That's a great thing with cell phones. You know, you can
sure.
text back and forth and send messages and make connections in that way. So it just kind of varies, you know, and some more than others. Now, in terms of active players going, it varies from team to team and time to time. At times I've had several that will be part of ours. And right now, not very many, not many regulars. You know, it's often the case with young men in their life at this time. They aren't always mm-hmm. the best at being regular going to church either, but we do have that option for them. So it can be just a few, you know, sometimes coaches. With the Cardinals, actually, we have quite a few Catholics in the front office, and a lot of them come to Mass, including our president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. And so that's a nice connection to have, you know, with him, and that helps us to have the support of the team because, you know, he's usually there.
That's fair. And how, I guess another thing that crosses my mind here is how much of a network is there among the various chaplains for the different teams? Do you get together at all on a regular basis? Do you get to know fellow priests that way?
Well, we actually have a meeting once a year. It's a retreat that's sponsored called the Baseball Retreat, and all of them are invited to be part of that, including, you know, players that have been involved in that. And we usually have it in November, you know, at that time, kind of a little bit after the season gets done, and it's out near San Diego, California. So it's a nice place for me to go
sure,
that time
nice.
Of year
yeah.
for that. And there are a lot of the players that live out that way in the off season, so it works out pretty good. And so we have usually for 3 days, a chance to have times of prayer and speakers, and then also some meetings to talk about, you know, how the ministry is going, you know, in the different places, and to connect even what other players may want, or situations, or who's going to be with what teams, or things like that. So it works out pretty well. And I definitely keep in touch with ones if we find out, you know, that different players are getting traded or whatever, going to other teams, especially ones who've been involved, say, hey, this person's involved, it could be good to get in contact with them and to help support that. So it's kind of fun. I've gotten to be pretty close with Father Burke Masters, who's the Catholic chaplain for the Chicago Cubs. He's been kind of famous in a way. He just put a book out not too long ago about his story, and he actually played college baseball at Mississippi State and was looking even towards a career to play professional, but then felt called to the priesthood. So his is an interesting story along with that. And he and I, you know, it's kind of nice, you know, the Cardinal and Cub fans don't always get along so well, but it's nice that the Catholic chaplains do get along pretty well. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's good. I was going to say that's fantastic. I did see that that gentleman had a book out. So I think it was Word on Fire published.
Yes.
It. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's,
yeah. It's really that's good. Wonderful. Really good book. Yeah.
I have to ask, as a Reds fan, do you know do the Reds have a chaplain or not? And do you know him?
They do, but he has not come to our meeting from that. So I've never got the chance to be able to get to know him. So, but I know that they do have Mass there, and it works good to help, you know, for some of our, especially the people when they are on the road, to let them know, you know, when the Masses are going to be or where they're going to be in situations like that. And we do have, you know, email and text chains for that. So that helps a little bit also, you know, to help them, to give them, make it easier for them to be able to find when the Masses are going to be offered.
Well, it drew my attention as a baseball fan, obviously. I mean, I write my thrillers, my Pastor Stephen Grant thrillers and mysteries, and I have Stephen Grant as a Reds fan and his wife as a Cardinals fan. So this, obviously, you caught my attention in so many different ways. But I'm just fascinated by, you know, these types of ministries where the church has people such as yourself and others that are reaching out and in, you know, in ways that are somewhat unique. And that's good stuff. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, one of the neat things I've learned a lot, you know, about what it's like for them for life on the road. And, you know, it even I thought I had a sense of it, but you really don't, you know, of how lonely it can be and how guarded and protected they have to be and how great the temptations are.
Yeah.
You know, the stories are true, you know, about the women who are trying to connect with these ball players, and they have to have their guards up because they're, you know, there's all kinds of situations from that, and that they, you know, want to try to be faithful. You know, most of the ones I do, and it's a challenge, you know, for them. You know, they're looked at, you know, pretty highly, you know, by a lot of the people, at least built up that way. But they
sure
also can't, it's hard for them to trust anyone because in so many cases, you know, somebody wants something from them. And that's the thing I try not to do, you know, is that way. I'm not going to be one. I don't expect anything from them other than just a chance and to be there to support them. Some people say, oh, Father, getting to this means you get tickets all the time and autographs all the time. And it's like, no, you know, I'm not going to be one to push those situations because then it becomes about me and not about the ministry to be able to. Now, yeah, I've, of course, gotten opportunity and things given, you know, in that way. And then to be able to go to a lot of the games with some pretty good seats. But, you know, it's.
That's not the reason you're getting into it, right?
No, not at all. You know, it's the you know, the, and just to be close to the ball players, you know, it's, you do, you know, it has been a neat experience, but I think I try not to be the fanboy with the big eyes anymore. You know, at times, you know, when I'm around the players, the challenge for me is when some of the players that played when I was young are around, you know, that's the one I gotta be able to do that. So
yeah.
More so than the current players today. So some of them, when they're coaches or other situations from that.
It is a situation whenever you get into certain situations that you don't expect. It just comes natural and you realize people are just people.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, what else am I missing? Anything else that you'd like to add for our listeners in terms of this part of your ministry?
Well, spring training is kind of important. You know, I just got back not too long ago from being down in Jupiter, Florida with the Cardinals. And I've actually started going even before I had this ministry because I figured it was a great opportunity. I miss baseball in the winter very much, and to get a fresh start on it, it's great. And to be close, you know, when you're in the stadium and the major league ballparks, they're so big, but the smaller stadiums are great, you know, great chance to see the players up close, to see the young players from that. But in my ministry, that's when I network, you know, because they have a little bit more time, you know, and thankfully the Cardinals have been very good to me. You know, when I come down, I have a pass, you know, where I can go anywhere, you know, for that and to, you know, be able to, you know, go in when they're not busy in the locker room or whatever, to go out in the backfields and down on the field. And, you know, if I wear my collar, it's sometimes it's not even saying anything. It's just being there. And that's, I've made connections with people I didn't know who were Catholic just because I had my collar on,
yeah,
you know, from that. And it, from that way. And that's one of the things I've been starting to do and had a little bit better luck with is connect with some of the guys when they're in the minor leagues and some of the coaches there. Mm-hmm. So when they come up, you know, if they do with the Cardinals, I already have some connection with them. I had a couple of those this year, especially that was, couple of neat experiences from that and to know that they can, you know, that there is this support for them who want to, if they want to keep living out their faith, you know, being on the road and in a profession like this doesn't mean they have to give that up, you know, and that it would, that there is even support to make it as easy as possible for them to be able to attend services, but also a resource if they need some help, you know, or some direction to be able to do that. And that's been a neat experiences for me to, and they happen when I least expect, you know, you think you're target this. And all of a sudden, you know, it comes up, you know, at a different time, you know, as I say, Father, can you have time to talk for a little bit? And, just some of those are the neatest times. I mean, I've heard confessions walking out on the backfields at spring training and, or sitting in the stands when the stadium's empty or situations like that. And it's just, those are neat experiences or just even, the ones, you know, aren't from the same church. They just, you know, they just want to talk about, you know, Christianity or a little bit about Jesus, so that too. And it just is, you know, it, even if, you know, it can even just from being there can lift their mind to the Lord, you know, even when they didn't expect it also.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, and when you were just saying that and you think about the age of some of these guys, and especially when they're so young. And I think about You know, I've done some writing and things on, you know, education and so on. And it's no secret, you know, you see kids graduate from high school, brought up in a Christian home, and they go to college and, you know, they lose their faith or they lose their way, whether altogether or for a short, you know, a period of time. And that can happen even in a, you know, the structured, if you will, environment of higher education. It can happen in, you know, quote unquote, Christian colleges and universities, right? That turn out to be maybe a little bit less so. And I think about what you said in terms of their ages and the temptations and so on. So in terms of having someone there offering what you're offering has got to be, it's got to be a wonderful avenue or benefit for so many of these players.
It really does. And they do say those, Father, just thank you for being who you are and just for being around, you know, when we need you, you know, and that can, you know, it means a lot to hear that too, you know, and it's kind of interesting. One of the big surprises for me is that I've actually developed a couple good friendships with players from other teams, you know, from that. And then because they always come to Mass, and one I've gotten pretty close with is Trevor Williams, the pitcher for the Washington Nationals, and strong man of faith, you know, from that. And I actually, because the Nationals training camps close to the Cardinals, I actually got to together with dinner with him being down there this year, because he just did to visit and to share a little bit. Makes it tough when he's pitching against the Cardinals, I'll be honest with you, though, because I can't root against him. But you know, he's such a good guy. That kind of puts me in a quandary a little bit. But but the life is more important than baseball, even as much as I love baseball. But.
Right. And I know for you, I mean, in terms of what you do, in terms of your vocation, your calling, you know, my son is a Lutheran pastor in Chicago. And I know, you know, listen, you guys have all your, you know, just like the rest of us, you know, ups and downs and so on. And I know that in terms of when you experience that feedback, I don't know if feedback's the right word, but you can see that something matters to an individual in terms of their faith life and so on. That gives you, you know, I don't know if it re-energizes you or maybe you can tell me how you feel as a priest when you experience something like that, that it obviously helps you in terms of what you're doing, right?
Oh, it totally does. And, you know, any type of that, because so often all we hear is the negative, you know, especially when you're running a church and everybody has their own opinions with things. And, you know, so any type of the positive experiences are helpful. And especially there where you know you're making a difference. And even where it's in another area of life that is important to me. I mean, you know, of following baseball and then to be there to see others who it is their, you know, career in their life from that, and to help it make them to be able to keep strong and to help them to have that base to help them succeed the best that they can do. It does. It lifts me up too. And then to, you know, and even the ones when they may not accomplish so much on the field, you know, they may have a rough day and, but also that their faith's still important to them. It happened to one of our minor league pitchers, the day we had Mass when I was down in spring training, he got kind of lit up in his first inning, you know, with gave up several runs. I thought, oh great, he's, you know, probably bothered him. Well, he still came to church, you know, after the Mass, you know, and after the game, he said, Father, yeah, of course I'm going to hear, you know, it's like, it's just a bad day, you know, but it's fine. So it was good to see that, you know, that it was, you know, it could see that things were, you know, he knew what was most important rather than, this was just going to be a day he could shake it off and come back and pitch the next time.
Yep. And that goes for all of us, right? No matter what age, you know, keeping it all in proper perspective, we all have our bad days. But you got to keep it all in perspective in terms of what you're doing and what really matters in the end. So
definitely.
Well, Father, I appreciate this so much. This was great. I appreciate your work in bringing the good news of Jesus to the world of baseball, and then obviously what you're doing at the parish level as well. So I appreciate all your work.
Well, I'm glad. I appreciate that. I'm glad to talk to you too, Ray. I just found your books, you know, like a year ago. And so I've been excited and enjoy, you know, reading them, as, you know, I'm able to help even support the work you do, because I love the characters that you have and the situations from that. And Jennifer Grant being a Cardinal fan didn't hurt either, you know, along with that, to be able to do that. But But I do. I look forward to them each time they come out, and how you, the way you've amazing you've the adventure and also the life of a Lutheran pastor. It's exciting.
Well, I appreciate that. You're very kind, and again, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, and I'll have you back again, and we'll talk about some other topics if you don't mind.
I would love to do it.
All right, thanks, Father. Appreciate it. Take care.
Okay, take care, Ray.
Thank you again to Father Chris for coming on the Press Club C podcast. I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening. Your feedback and suggestions are always welcome. Please check out my various endeavors and books. That includes my other podcast, by the way, the Free Enterprise in 3 Minutes podcast and the Daily Dose of Disney podcast. As for my books, there are the Pastor Stephen Grant Thrillers and Mysteries, Cathedral, an Alliance of St. Michael novel, which is the first in that series. More books coming there. I'm writing the second one right now. And there are other nonfiction books like my three weekly economist books. All of these are available at Amazon.com in Kindle and paperback. Also signed books at RayKeatingBooksAndMore.com. Also, over at RayKeatingBooksAndMore.com, you can order the Lutheran Planner or the Disney Planner to get organized and inspired. And finally, and perhaps best of all, never miss any of my books going forward and get all sorts of other benefits and rewards and so on by joining the Pastor Stephen Grant Fellowship. You can do that at patreon.com/Pastor Stephen Grant Fellowship. Thanks so much, and God bless.